We seek refuge in Allah from the accursed Satan. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello and welcome to our viewers all over the world to another edition of our program, Islamic Studies. This program is being broadcast to you by Sahar Universal Network from the holy city of Qum, from the Islamic Republic of Iran, and I'm your regular host on this program, Ijaz Hussain. The theme for the last few sessions has been on the philosophy of ethics. And I'd just like to make a brief recap on what our expert had to say about this particular subject from our last session. Of course, he gave us a very comprehensive introduction towards what is actually meant by philosophy of ethics, because in terms of before we actually discuss ethics themselves, there has to be this definition of understanding the thinking behind having ethics, and perhaps even raising the question as to why we need it. But basically, we reached this stage in our discussion where we were talking about Islamic ethics, and we talked about the idea of purification. We talked about defining Islamic ethics. We looked at sources. We looked at the methodology, what sources we would look at in terms of understanding Islamic ethics. And we talked about the Quran. We talked about the Hadith. We looked about the behavior and conduct of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his holy family, which is a very, very rich source. And thirdly, we were on to the stage where we talked about the foundations of ethics, which looks at belief, faith, that is the moral conduct based on belief, or can it be based on anything as far as Western ethics is concerned, because there is this great discrepancy that they are developing ethics for the basis of having a good worldly life, but we are talking about having Islamic ethics for a good moral behavior and conduct, or a transformation, if you like, forever, for not only the world life in this world, but also in the hereafter. And that is very important. And we also talked about another foundation of these ethics being based on knowledge and looking at actions and deeds. We're going to continue this in-depth discussion about ethics right after this short break with our expert to find out more about what he means by having knowledge and action and deeds in terms of the foundations of ethics. And we'll do that after a short break. So please stay with us. We'll be right back. Thank you. Welcome back, viewers. Thanks very much for staying with us. You're watching Islamic Studies. I'm your host, Ijaz Hussain, and I'd like to welcome my expert in the studio, and I have the honor and pleasure once again of having Dr. Hijazi on the subject of philosophy of ethics, although he also gave us some sessions on the philosophy of religion as well. He's a professor, an academic from the International Institute of Islamic Studies. A very warm welcome to you, sir. Salam.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you very much. At your service.
Thank you very much indeed, sir. We've reached the stage now in our discussion where you have been taking us through the definition of Islamic ethics, talking about the methodology, looking at sources, and you are also now defining for us the foundations of these ethics, because you want to define for us the goal, the ultimate goal of why this moral conduct of human beings is so important. And you mentioned, and very importantly, the fitrah. You mentioned about this internal prophet. And that is also a great source of values as well, because this is the universal commonality, if you like, between we human beings as a species, as a creation. So therefore, this is the basis on which we are going to conduct our social affairs, our actions, our deeds. And of course, this has huge implications, as you say, not only for prosperity in this world, because you talked about salvation, you talked about many other great concepts, which are much, much higher than just, you know, the life that we have in this world. So without further ado, I leave the stage to you to continue our discussion on this important subject.
Thank you. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Really, your introduction was very good.
Thank you very much indeed, sir.
It is necessary in the very beginning of our discussion.
Sure.
Because we are talking about philosophy.
Thank you very much. I tried my best to try to simplify some very complicated ideas, because of course the subject is vast. I mean, you've got a book there which you showed us in the last session, and I'm glad you brought it with us again, which is Great Traditions in Islamic Ethics, which just gives an idea that this is just an abridgment, isn't it, of
just
many
brief.
Other sources like Najul Balagha, the Epistle of the Treatise of Imam Zain al-Abidin, and many other rich sources from which we understand moral conduct of human beings. So this is a huge subject in itself. I mean, we must stress that this is a specialization.
Yeah, of course. Yes. And also we discussed about the definition of Islamic ethics.
Yes.
And the foundation. I just want to recall everybody that the foundation, at least we have three foundations for Islamic ethics.
That's right. You mentioned
number that. One is belief or faith, iman. Yes. Number two is knowledge or ma'rifa. Number three is action. So we cannot, I'm telling you, we cannot talk about Islamic morality without paying serious attention to these three foundations.
Absolutely.
Islamic morality is based on belief. Islamic morality is based on knowledge and ma'rifa.
Sure.
Knowledge of what? Of whom? Knowledge of God. Knowledge of human being. Knowledge of the universe. So we have to have this type of knowledge if we want to talk about the system of morality in Islam.
Sure.
And finally, action. Action also has a big role, a great role in Islamic morality, because action should be based on, we are talking about voluntary action, not forced action, not the action which comes forcefully by the nature or God, whatever. Voluntary action, which is based on man's free will.
Absolutely.
So whenever we talk about morality in Islam, we have to accept that human being has free will.
Of course.
Because if human being does not have free will, how can we say he is responsible for his action?
Sure.
If he is forced to do something, he is not able to choose. Mm. So we cannot talk about morality and we cannot talk about ethics.
Well, this is a very interesting point that you raise in the philosophy of ethics, because in terms of other philosophical discussions, there is this problem.
Yes.
That certain schools of thought, in some Muslim traditions, I'm not saying in all, but because we are discussing particularly from the school of Ahlul Bayt, we are totally have a different discussion on these things. But we are seeing that some Muslims are, rightly or wrongly, think that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does all the actions, does all the, gives us the power to be able to do whatever he wills. And in a sense, we don't have a say in what happens, because we believe in cause and effects, but they say these cause and effects are all Allah's doing.
Exactly.
So this is what you're saying. You're pointing out the fact that, yes, this is voluntary. These actions are voluntary from man's free will, and that means he is accountable for what he does. In other schools of thought, this accountability is lost for many reasons, and that we want to stress, particularly from the school of Ahlul Bayt, that we don't believe in such a thing.
And
the accountability is always there.
Very good point that you raised. And if you remember,
yes,
before we discussed about the periods of ethics and moral development in Islam,
sure,
and I mentioned two groups, Ash'ari and Mu'tazili.
That's right. Yeah.
And you know that there was a big debate and challenge between these two groups.
Yes.
Because one group believes that the will of God is functional and there is no function for the will of human being. There is no free will for a human being.
Mm.
So they believe in predestination.
Yes.
They believe that there is no way for man to choose.
Mm.
He has to do whatever Allah wants him to do.
Sure.
This is one extremes.
Yes.
This is in one side.
Because you did mention, Dr. Hejazi, very briefly, you did talk about the nature of evil. And the nature of evil also has its reality.
Yes.
So this is something that we accept in, you know, as I say, in other philosophical traditions as well, in discussions as well from the school of Al-Albay, that this is a fact. So how can you equate that bad or negative action with the purity that we are discussing?
Exactly.
As far as reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, is concerned, the two things are contradictory.
Yeah. So we have these two extremes.
Yes.
One extreme is Ash'ari, for example, they go, the only functional thing here is in this world is the will of God.
Sure.
And on the other side, we have Mu'tazila. Yes. And they believe that, no, just the will of man is functional, and the man is free to do whatever he wants, and there is no affection from the will of God on his activities and on his behavior. There are two extremes. We can call one group as a Jabriya and one group as Mufawwiza. Tafwiziya. Jabriya and Tafwiziya.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But the way of Ahlul Bayt, as you mentioned several times, is in the middle.
It's in the middle. Yeah.
Is,
yes,
in the middle. Mm-hmm. Because we believe that both, we have both wills, the will of God and the will of man. They are functional, both of them.
Sure.
But they are in they are not in the same level.
Sure.
They are not in the same level.
No.
If they are in the same level, there is a contradiction.
Yes.
Because either this one or that one.
Sure.
But because they are not in the same level, they are in hierarchy. Mm-hmm. The first, the higher the will of a man is the will of God.
Sure.
So we have at the same time, we have both.
Yes.
God wills you to do these things by your will, by your choice.
By your choice,
by
yes.
your choice.
Yes.
He wills you. Mm. He wants you to do that,
yes,
by your choice.
Choice.
So we can solve the both problems. Both wills are working.
Yes.
But still, human being has free will.
Yes.
He has to decide.
But of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He wills you for your will to go in a particular action or state or position, it's towards purity. He's not going to ask exactly. you to do something yeah. contrary to that.
And still, you are accountable. And you are,
still
you
are accountable.
To, you have
yes.
to be responsible
yes.
for your
sure.
choice. Because
choice.
You are going to choose.
Yes.
Now, in Islamic ethics, we have three types of duties
right.
and responsibilities. Mm-hmm. One part of duties is duties toward Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala,
yes,
toward
of course.
God.
Of course.
And the second area or major area of morality is duties towards oneself. I have some duties towards my own self.
Yes, yes, because the Quran always talks about this unjustness to oneself because
and
of nafs, because of lack of purification or negligence towards perfecting oneself.
And we mentioned this ayah that aflaha man zakkaha.
Yes.
So we have some responsibility towards
ourselves. Yes.
Our body, our physical part, our spiritual part,
sure.
and all these things.
Sure.
And the third part or the third major area is duties towards other creatures. For example, society, environment, the universe, and everything. The whatever are around us, which are created by God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have some responsibility, we have some duties.
That's
that
right.
in the very beginning of our discussion of philosophy of ethics,
that's
we discussed
right.
a little bit about this.
That's
now,
right.
the first point and the first theme that clearly and in a very deep discussion will be concerned by Muslim thinkers in ethics is human being and his nature, insan shanasi. Because we have
yes.
a hadith, very famous hadith, and a very beautiful hadith from the Holy Prophet,
yes.
which is mentioned by both lines of thinking, both schools, Sunni and Shia, all mention this hadith.
Sure.
They say, man arafa nafsah, faqad arafa rabbah. Man arafa nafsah, faqad arafa rabbah. First, we have to know, we have to understand
ourselves.
Ourselves.
In order to know Allah.
In order to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the way of knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is knowing ourselves. The knowledge of ourselves is the bridge or is the way of knowing and knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Sure.
Now,
sure.
how can we know ourselves and what type of knowledge should we obtain about
That's
ourselves?
That's right, that does raise that question.
Number one, first, we have to think about our nature. Mm-hmm. What type of nature do we have? For example, can we believe in dualism or not? As you know, in philosophy, there's a big discussion, yes, whether a human being has two parts. One part is body, one part is spirit. Yes. One part is badan, one part is ruh. Yes. One part is physical, for example, humanity, physical part of human being. And the second part is
the soul part,
spiritual or soul,
soul part of the
we call this dualism.
Yes.
Dualism means soul and body.
Sure.
So first we have to know that we have two parts. Mm. And our main humanity belongs to our soul.
Soul,
not
yes,
our body.
No.
Because our body will change. All the time it's changing.
And decaying.
Every 7 years, yes, every 10 years.
Yes.
Totally. Our physical parts of our body will change.
Sure. Dr. Hijazi, hold on to that point. We'll be back after a short break. Please stay with us. Thank you. Welcome back, viewers. Thanks very much for staying with us. You're watching Islamic Studies. I'm your host, Ijaz Hussain. There will be an email subtitled on the screen. Please use it if you feel you wish to make any contribution to the program. We are discussing philosophy of ethics with our specialist, Dr. Hijazi. And of course, you were taking us to the point of the nature of man. To understand oneself is to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please continue.
Yes,
from
the basis, as I mentioned,
yeah,
the
basis,
first, the first topic and the basis of morality and ethics in Islam is to know ourselves,
yeah,
to know human being.
Sure.
Because if we don't have human being, if we don't have man, there is no way for talking about ethics and morality.
Yes.
If you just imagine that there is no man on this earth.
Yes.
So can you talk about morality about trees and jungles and the mountains and, for example, ground or animals?
I don't think so.
There is no moral system for animals or for. So whenever we talk about
it, would be a very peaceful world that way.
They live in a very peaceful.
It would be a very tranquil world, that's
situation.
For sure.
But when man comes, we bring all these problems and difficulties with ourselves.
I think so. Yes.
So we have to talk about morality and ethics.
Yes.
So first, we have to know ourselves.
Yes.
We have to have some type of knowledge about ourselves,
sure,
knowledge about our nature,
yes,
knowledge about our creator, who has created us, about our origination. Mm. What is our origination?
Yes, which is our origin, yes.
For example, do we believe in evolution or some type of, for example, the pieces that changes from one piece to another piece to another piece or
very
some
good,
other species
point,
and all these things. Mm. Or we believe that according to the Holy Quran that our first the first origination goes back to one person, which is Adam, or
yes,
something like this.
Yes.
So we have to know all this knowledge about ourselves.
Sure.
And then we have to know the goal of life.
Goal of life.
Which is very important.
Yes. Absolutely.
Because if what type of life? What type of life? What's the extension of life? Sometimes when I have some seminars, I raise this question. I say, okay, any system or any religion would be able to answer these three questions. I follow that system, I follow that religion. That religion is perfect. Number one, from where you have come.
Yes.
Where is your origination?
Absolutely.
You have to find a good answer and for this question. The second, why are you here? What is the purpose of your life here? You have to find a good answer to this question. And where are you going on? Where are you going after this life? What would be your destination? What would be your next life? Is there a next life or not? We have three major and main and foundational questions about ourselves.
Absolutely.
Origination, this life, and future.
Sure.
Past, present, and future.
Future, past, present.
So we have these three questions.
Mm.
And every human being has these three questions.
Of course they do.
And if we follow a religion, if we follow a system of thinking, If we follow a philosophy, if we follow a theology, that theology and that philosophy should be able to answer these three questions.
Yes.
I'm talking to everybody.
Yes.
I'm talking to whole world, to the whole world. Please, if you want to choose a religion, a way of thinking, a way of life, a way of philosophy, whatever, that way and that system should be able to answer to these three questions.
Sure.
And we claim that Islam has perfect answer to all these three questions.
Yes.
If you refer to the Holy Quran, for the origination of human being, clearly and in a very clear manner, an argumentation explained about the origination of human being. It comes from God, inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So the origination is God. And the way of coming to this world is very clear, according to the Holy Quran. And then, when we have the second question, what would be the goal of life here? Why are we here? Why? This is the second question.
Sure.
In the Holy Quran, we have tens of ayat and verses. We have thousands of hadiths and traditions explain about the goal of life and tells us that this life is just a way, is just a, for example, introduction to a more important life.
Sure.
And you have to prepare for that life.
Yes.
This life is only for preparation.
Yes.
This life is only for just to get some needs and get some properties that you need in another life.
Sure.
Explain in this. So you go to another religion, you go to another school of thought, you go to another philosophies. It is not clear.
Mm-hmm.
They just tell you, okay, this is the only life that you are. And just think about this life. And finally, and the most important part of the discussion is about another life. What would happen after this life?
Yes.
You go to all religions, even Judaism,
yes,
in Christianity. There is no clear explanation about another life. How many verses in the in Torah or in Injil, in the Bible, New Testament, Old Testament, you can find about hereafter? How many verses explains to you what will happen after this life? But when you go to the Holy Quran, when you go to Islam, there are hundreds of the verses talking about hereafter and what happened after this life.
Sure, sure.
So we have to find questions. We have these three questions. This is original and major and initial question for every single man and woman.
Absolutely.
And we
absolutely
have to find a solution for these three questions.
Sure.
And Islamic ethics is ready to answer these three questions. So the another point that we have to know about human being is about his destination. What is his life and final destination? In a hadith in Bihar al-Anwar, chapter 58, page 78, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, says, مَا خُلِقْتُمْ لِلْفَنَاءِ بَلْ خُلِقْتُمْ لِلْبَقَاءِ. You see? You have not been created just to be demolished and just for this small and very limited life. You have been created for eternity, for eternal life. Lil baqa. Wa innama tunqaluna min darin ila dar. Just after this life, you are transferring, you are going from one house to another house, from one world to another world.
Exactly.
This is the hadith. Okay. Now, at this point, I want to mention a very important thing in akhlaq, in ethics, in Islam, which is action.
Yes.
Okay, action, as we explained before, that has a very important role in akhlaq and in ethics in Islam. Whatever we do here, good or bad, it remains. It remains. If I say a word, if I utter a word, I think that it is finished. But the Holy Quran says, no, it remains. If I do something with my hand, I think, okay, if I move, for example, this glass here and just drink water or not drink water, I think that, okay, this is action. This is action.
Sure.
I think that, okay, it's finished. That's it. And after 1 hour, I say, okay, last hour I did this.
Sure.
But the Holy Quran says everything remains. And the Holy Quran says, if you do good things, you will receive them.
Receive the reward for them, yes.
No, no. Not the reward.
Right.
The same action. This is my point.
Oh, right.
Whatever you do good, you will receive the same, the exact action, not the reward of action.
I see.
And also, if you somebody did something wrong,
right,
evil action, bad things,
sure,
he will receive the same action.
Oh my goodness.
So every action in this world has a button, has an inner reality.
An inner reality.
The surface of the action is clear. Either some words, or doing some activities, or eating, or drinking, or walking. This is the surface of the action. But every action has a bottom, has inner reality.
An inner reality, right.
So that in the hereafter, you will see the inner reality of your action. The Holy Quran says, let me recite from the Holy Quran.
Just in the last few couple of minutes.
Just
yes.
Surah Az-Zilzal, chapter 99, ayah 7 and ayah 8. Mm-hmm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. I think every Muslim knows this ayah.
Yes.
And maybe several times you have recited this ayah.
Yes.
But pay attention to this point.
Yes.
The ayah says, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ whoever does مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ.
Yes, an atom.
The smallest.
Yes.
The smaller thing is atomic thing. Mm. The smaller thing, خَيْرًا, good things. يَرَهُ. He will see that. He will see that, not the result of that.
He will see it, the actual
yara
action.
Who, the action. And وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. If small bad things and bad deed he does here, he will see that. So we approach ethics, Islam approaches ethics by this vision. That whatever we do here, it makes our identity. It makes our personality. If I do good things, my identity would be good, would be khair. If I do bad things, evil action, my identity, my personality, my reality would be bad. So some bad things and evil action are like fire. If, for example, if I lie, the reality of lie is fire. The reality of backbiting is fire.
Fire.
The reality of doing oppressed people is some type of fire. So if I do fire, if I collect fire here 60 years, 70 years, whatever I have is fire. So when I move to another world, I just receive fire. This is my own action. This is not from God. God is just. He is doing justice. He is not doing, for example, zulm to anybody.
No.
Just I receive whatever I have done before. So, but whatever I do good, for example, is light, is heaven, is good things, is khair, is garden, is good places.
So that's the inner reality of what you were doing?
The inner reality, exactly. Mm-hmm. So when I move from this world to another world,
sure,
I will see the reality.
Dr. Hijazi, just briefly, if you can, in the last few seconds, let's sum up this very interesting points you are making here, because really it kind of frightens one at the same time of what you're saying.
It gives you hope.
It gives hope as well.
Everybody hope.
Yeah, but
just in one sentence.
One sentence, please.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Fajr, chapter 89,
sure,
ayah 27 to 28, says, Ya ayatun nafsul mutma'inna, irji' ila rabbik raziyatan marziyah. This is the goal of ethics. Allah says, you have to go back to your Lord.
You have to go back to your Lord.
Raziyatan marziyah, which means that you should be satisfied from God and be satisfied by God.
Be satisfied by God, yes.
You are satisfied from Him, and you are satisfied by Him. So, فَدْخُلِ فِي عِبَادِي وَدْخُلِ جَنَّتِي. Then, when you achieve this type of goal, you enter the heaven and you enter the people of God and the servant of God. So this is the purification.
Purification,
and become
yes.
perfect. When you become perfect, you are satisfied by God.
Yes, very nice, Dr. Hijazi. It's a lovely point to end this particular program on. But really, you know, you have opened our eyes
to a lot of discussion.
A lot of discussion in terms of the reality of what you're seeing, because really that's not something we pay attention to. But of course, it does have great implications, because if we do think about those things,
it will change everything, it transforms
everything within seconds, I would say. You know, you would think tomorrow that what I'm doing in the morning and what I will do until the end of the day.
Exactly.
But very interesting. Thank you very much, Dr. Hijazi, in this session and in discussion of this philosophy of ethics. But I'm so sorry that we're always short of time and we can't cover the comprehensive
other topics. We can continue this discussion.
Perhaps. Thank you very much indeed, Dr. Hijazi. We'll always have the pleasure of your company on the program. But it just leaves me to thank you for the contribution today. And also, it leaves me to thank our viewers for watching. I hope you've benefited from the program and enjoyed the discussion. It just leaves me to say, Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. May the peace and mercy and blessings of Allah be upon you all. Thank you very much for watching today, and goodbye.